sit and to pray to God. There's times to sing. There's times to shout. And there's times to declare the word of God. That's what Zerubbabel did. He declared to the mountain who God was and what it was going to become by the Spirit of God. Yes? And so we're going to declare the wonders of God. You know, Psalm 75 verse 9 says, I will declare forever, I will sing of his praises. It's important for us to keep declaring. Why? Because in Genesis 1 it said God spoke and it was. And in Genesis 1 it says we are made in his image. Therefore he has given us a voice that is creative. With his word it is creative. And we speak to the powers of the air. We speak to the land. And we speak to each other. We speak to the souls of people. And allow the creative word of God, the powerful word of God, to do its work. Yes? Okay, got a several of you on board. Awesome. It says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord, Exodus 33:19. Isaiah 48:6, Isaiah 66:19 says, have you heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? You know, God gives us an ability. You know, in the Old Testament, he gave it to his prophets. He said, you know, will I do anything that I don't declare it to the prophets first? But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, in Acts 2, we're told that he pours out his spirit upon all flesh. His maid servants and, well, his men servants and his maid servants will prophesy. Why? Because it's that creative, powerful word that states who God is, states what it shall be, states his promises, declares his will, and allows that power to work to bring it to pass. Isn't it good? And that's why in Zechariah it says grace, grace, because grace means the empowering work of God that enables us to be all that we're called to be. It's what grace is over our lives. That empowering work to understand who we are in him, who he is for us, and that his word is true. Yes? And if I'm speaking loud, it's because I just need to stand on faith today. Sometimes it has to be a little louder than my unbelief. Yes? Sometimes our voice has to be a little louder than the unbelief. Yes? And so there's a time, and this Sunday is this time. I know you're excited. So as I said before, Psalm 27. I'm going to go quickly here because we have work to do. I love it. Psalm 27 says an exuberant declaration of faith. You know, I am a demonstrative person. I have a bit of Scottish in me. I have a bit of Irish in me. And I have a bit of Viking in me. Norse. From Norway and Sweden and the Danes. So I'm kind of demonstrative. Also kind of like a sword. I like a war movie. Psalm 27 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, such as breathe out violence. You know, we don't fight against flesh and blood today. We fight against powers and principalities that want to convince us that God is not true, that want to convince us that we are powerless in him, that want to convince us we're just little worms at the bottom of the garden. Yes, those are our adversaries. Those are our enemies. And we ask God to teach us his ways. And he says, I would have lost heart, the psalmist says, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, that wait is a wait with confidence, a wait with an assurance. It's cover is the word. Cover. Go on. Cover. Wait. And it's a little bit like some of the commentaries talk about it, looking like waiting in ambush. to pounce on the goodness of God when it turns up. Don't you love it? I've got a 2-year-old grandson. Sees me down the corridor, he goes, "Nanny!" And he just flies at me. And he's picking up speed now, he's 2, and he's running. I have to brace myself for the approach because he's tough at it, but he's waiting an ambush for me because I'm his goodness. I'm his nanny, you know? And how else should we be like that with God? I will wait. I will be of good courage. I'm going to pounce on the goodness of God as soon as I see it. Yes? As soon as I want it, I'm going to be of good courage because what he said is true. And he will perform what he says is true. Yes? And his love over you is just extraordinary. You know, Hebrews. I love Hebrews 11. It's the chapter of faith, but Hebrews 10 prepares us for this chapter. And Hebrews 10 says, therefore, verse 35, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that you, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We need to endure. Trials come. Jesus didn't say, oh, maybe trials will come. He said, when trials come. When trials come. We have need of endurance. We have to have a confidence in the word of God. We have to have a confidence in the promises of God to stand in them and understand that they will come to pass no matter where we are in the process. Yes? And so it goes on for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That's such a good line. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means it's tangible. It means you can hold on to it as true, that it's solid, that it's actually reality. It's not just a thought. It's not a philosophy. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Further on down in Hebrews 11, it says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, confessed the promises. Thank you, Ben. Nga mihi nui. Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth because they knew that what their promises had was more than just their own bit. We are here as the body of Christ. We are baptized into one body. We are here as a communion of people. So your promises are my promises. And my promises are your promises. And City Life, whānau, the promises that are over this house, the prophecies that are over this house, they're all your promises. They're all who you are. They're all who you are called into being. Yes? So we're going to declare those today. Hope you're okay. Good. Because if not, too bad. I'm going on. Sometimes you just need us old warriors to stir up a little bit. Verse 18 says, this charge I commit to you. Paul's talking to his son Timothy, and he's saying, take a hold of this. I am charging you. This is a commission for you. Son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. And he goes on, he says, I'm charging you Wage a good warfare by the words that you know are the promises of God upon your life, by what has been prophesied over you. It says, wage a good warfare. So we're going to wage a good warfare today. So what you have with you, you up for it? Yes, you are. Just encouraging you right now. I'm going to give you an example. So we have these declarations that we have made in accordance with some of the prophecies and promises over our house. We have titled them, they were individual declarations written out, and we've taken some of the wording from Sean Bowles' Breakthrough Declarations. He's a prophetic dude who's amazing in his love for the body of Christ. And we've changed them to we declare, because it's us. We're together. Yes? And so you have a declaration. Now, the person next to you might have a different declaration, because there's a little number on your bottom left. On the first page, that little number on the bottom left on your first page is your number. It's going to be your declaration that you're going to pray into. All right? And I just want to give you a little example. So, Scott, if you could put up my slide presentation, please. And just go to the first one. Yeah, that one. Thank you. So this was a prophetic picture given actually by Kate, who sat here this year in 2020. And we've just pulled a little bit of it out. But I want you to understand a little bit on how we pray. Oh, bless Ben. Thank you. So I'm going to take this. So given in 2020, I saw the strata of the land in which there are deposits deep down from generations in the past that have been laid down, an inheritance of glory and truth. These wells will be tapped this year. New springs of God's power will flow. Woohoo! Exuberant declaration, and you will come across people broken by generational sin who are unaware of the inheritance of God that has been laid down way back in the ancestry for them. This house is an instrumental part to play, and it's lost on the word, in their restoration. All right? That's a prophecy. So I have a declaration here, and this is how we're going to take it. It says, we declare that through your love, God, through your love, Father, we are going to fulfill our purpose as City Life Whānau on this earth, in Taranaki, in the nation, and in nations. We declare that you have called us to love people as our destiny, to see strongholds broken off them and generational strongholds broken off them, and have given us a calling to reach them and to have an impact that will change their lives. Yes and amen, according to God. So that's an example of just how to modify that declaration that's in your hand and pray in a promise, yes? And because we love you, we've given you all six of the promises, but you don't have to go through them. Right now, have your first page in front of you. The number on the bottom left is your group number. And listen up, group one, here. Group two, over by the birds, the Namanu. Group three, over by Alex in the back corner there. Group four, behind Carrie and Angela by the main doors. Group five, by the coffee area. And group six, over here. What we're going to do is get into our groups. There'll be people who can encourage you. But we're going to read the declaration. If you don't want to pray out, you can just say yes and amen. Why? Because where two or three are gathered in his name, where we agree in his name, let it be established. Yes? So let's get up with our pieces of paper, go to our groups. You're going to pray in three or fours. So if you've got a big group, you're going to split into two.
Do you know what we do when we come together and we declare the word of God is not just empty words, but we're actually standing as the legislative body of Christ as we issue these words. All of heaven and earth come and are activated as we make these declarations. Like in the Bible, in the New King James Version, the church was often referred to in the Bible, but when King James wrote the Bible, that word church was slightly changed from the word originally in text meant, which was ecclesia or ecclesia, was that original word. And that original word for the church really means a legislative power. It's a place where we govern from. So when we speak those declarations, they're not just empty words. They are powerful declarations that is actually activating heaven. Angels are seen to work as we release those words. God is moved. And so I wonder if you, you know, if you, when you say those declarations and you take them home, know in your heart that what you're saying is moving heaven and is extending the kingdom. And God is powerfully doing things through those declarations. So I'm excited. Man, heaven must be busy today. Today they are excited because City Life Church is making some awesome declarations. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So we've spoken a bit corporately, awesomely this morning with Beth about the corporate vision and speaking prophetically that way. And I've just got the opportunity to share how sometimes we wage war with our personal prophetic words. And that is something in my life. So I'm going to share one that came to me about 2 years ago. And the word was, Zoe, I see you like a fireplace. Many fires have been lit in this fireplace. But Jesus is saying, I am the fire and I'm about to light will never go out. People will see the smoke and be drawn to the fire of your life. And the fire, they will receive the warmth of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but this word really spoke to me and it's become my battlefield word, because there have been a lot of things that have been lit in my life and I've seen God move and I've expected him to see even more happen with that. But then somehow it's just kind of fizzled out and become just a bit of a flame and nothing, not a fire that I expected to see. But when I come back to this and I know that the Lord has spoken to me and he says, no, Zoe, that fire is not going out. And the more I've claimed that over my life, not only has the fire burned, but I'm feel that this fire is contagious within me. And as I was saying earlier, that a word spoken over me, you're a fire starter, because once you start to get that word in you, it actually transforms you, and then you'll be able to carry that into the places that you go. So hey, why don't you, if you feel that you need a new fire in your life, why don't you, this word's not just for me, this word's for everyone here this morning. I've got another quick testimony. Why don't you just place your hand on your belly, because that's where the Spirit of God lives, right? If that's you this morning and you feel like, wow, I need a bit of that fire of God in my life this morning, I just want to release that into your life. You can stand, you can sit, whatever it is, but pose yourself in a place of accepting the fire. Lord Jesus, Father, right now we just release your fire in this place, God, into every single heart, into every single life that is willing to be open to you this morning. Father, that your fire would set ablaze in hearts, Lord Jesus, that it would be like the word you've spoken to me, Father, that it's a fire that's not going out, but it's a fire that will turn into a flame, that will turn into a bonfire, that will set hearts alight in every place that every person steps their feet. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just another quick word I want to share to you is that one word, sometimes somebody spoke, I shared something else this morning, so you can go back and listen to that. It was awesome. But one word that somebody spoke over to me changed my life. And this person said to me, Zoe, you're a warrior. And I was like, huh? If you're looking at me, I don't look like much of a warrior, but they saw what was in me. And that's what the prophetic does. It speaks to the deep parts of you, who you really are, who God's made you to be. And so as Beth's been saying this morning, I've had to see myself as the warrior that God's made me to be, the warrior who can stand on the word of God and say, my children and their children and their children will be saved and they will speak the word of God. That's a warrior stance. And hey, I wonder about if there's any of you in here this morning who's feeling like, you know, that one word that I took and I claimed, later on people gave me pictures as I start to accept this. They saw me on the battlefield and my weapon was my song. As I got off the horse and I sit down and I worship the king, it confused the enemy. And I worship is our weapon. Our praise is our weapon. The word is our weapon. So a warrior is not, I don't know, going out there and fighting massive battles in hand, force, army. Our warfare is with our praise, and our warfare is with our intercession. And that's a warrior. That's a warrior in the kingdom. So I wonder, hey, why don't you really quickly, if that's you today, you want to also step up and know that there is a warrior within you. I want to pray for you as well. I just want to release that over you. So that's you. Just claim onto your heart right now. Just hold on. And God, I just release your warrior heart into the spirits today. God, I just awaken warrior spirits in this place, Father. Just as you've awoken this in me, Father, I awake any warrior spirits that you would want to see awoken in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I'm rushing through this. So just to end, I love practicing prophetic words. And so I'm still pretty new at it, but let me just share some that were on my heart that I felt God gave me this morning. So the first one is for you, Kerry. I believe the Father would say to you, you are a man of my word. I see how you devote your life to seeking my truth. You have written my words on your heart, and thank you for your endless hours you've devoted to me, says the Lord. I see there is a deepening intimacy in the secret place with Jesus for you, Kerry. The Father has reserved a private place just for you and him, and in the stillness of the waters, he will reveal the revelation secrets of his promises to you. I feel this will see you step into a new level of intercession as you contend for the hearts of many others, and you will see an acceleration in the answer of these prayers as you pray. Pray that blesses you. Got a couple more here. Some people aren't here, that's all right. Diane, where are you? There you go. I see the Father is opening a new level of vision and revelation for you, like an eye salve being placed over your eyes so that you can truly see. He has heard the desires of your heart, and he wants to meet you in the place of new encounters with him. There's a generational legacy that you carry, Diane. Your children and their descendants will be blessed because of your faith. And the Father wants you to know that nothing is wasted. He is working all things for good. Oh. Bless you. Edith, this one's for you. Edith, you are a rare treasure, a valuable gift to God and us. I see Jesus holding something in his hand and cleaning it with a cloth. It's a beautiful gem. At first, I couldn't see it, but then he showed me how beautiful and radiant it was. Edith, you are this radiant and beautiful gem. Jesus has you in his hands. He loves to take care of you. You bring his light and love to those around you. And in this season, I see you impacting many with the light of Christ. This gem was pure and clear like a diamond. And I feel to remind you that you have a pure heart. A pure heart will see God and will see him move. Like Esther, Edith, your prayers are changing lives for the kingdom. Heaps. All right, I had a couple more, but they're not here this morning. But the last thing I wanted to write, as we just sang as a church, and I know we're going to end soon, but this is what God kept saying to me over and over again this morning as we sung. We are the move. We are the move. We're waiting. This is the move. We're asking God for a move. And I wonder if we could just sing, we are the move. This is us. The kingdom of God expanding through us, that's what the move of God is in this season. So, could we try that? We're going to try that.
Scott, can you just put up the slide 5, please? Just a little reminder, we really encourage you to take these declarations home and to talk on them. You know, the King David in the Old Testament, it says this little statement, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord when he lost absolutely everything. It all looked hopeless. And that little line is very unhelpful. I've complained to God about that line, he encouraged himself in the Lord, because, okay, well, what did he do? Can we have a bit more expounding on that? And but you find it in Psalms, and you find it in the way that he navigated the negativity around him and brought back in the truth of God. And so words and promises are so important. And I just want to let you understand and know that we as City Life Whānau, City Life Whare Karakia, City Life Church, we are called to be an apostolic and prophetic base. We are a place where people come to be refreshed, reshaped, and sent out again with purpose. A place of extravagant worship where people are healed, restored, emotional strongholds are broken without hands being laid on them. Next slide. Thanks, Scott. This is a place that is a healing community for the community. We have healing rooms. That City Life would be a safe place for God to send the prodigals to. This would be a safe house, a city of refuge. And by the way, we had someone return into the house at 9 o'clock morning. It was just beautiful, beautiful. Welcomed them in. And that rivers that will flow in this house and out of this house of the blessing of the Father, rivers of glory, rivers of love, the Father's love, in and out of this house, flowing into the city and the region. And we've had multiple words that declare these things that we are going to be. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't lose heart. Just right now, put your hand on your heart. And I'm going to pray out of Romans 15:13. It's one I pray over and over myself when I plumb to the depths of depression, which I have I've had a habit of doing. It says, now may God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now I would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nō reira, tēnā koutou katoa. We see you again. Go in confidence in the promise and the word of God this week. Remember to create with your words. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Now, next week, say after me, 11 o'clock. It's Thanksgiving Kai Sunday. So, and if that you want to come, you want to be there, please put your name down at the table outside on the foyer. We want to see you. We always celebrate. We have a Thanksgiving lunch, and so we want you to be there. Come and celebrate. Grab everybody who isn't. It's going to be a time where we're all together at 11 o'clock. Ka kite anō.